This is made possible by Dustin Campbell, Owe Them Bones, Daily Tech News Show, Andy Beach, Nick Wood, and Craig.
So, wait a minute. Is Joe Biden getting primaried? Because he's got other people running against him. And if you look at his polls, they don't seem that much different than Donald Trump's do currently. And we definitely know that Donald Trump is in a primary. But there's not going to be debates. And Joe Biden may or may not be listed on the ballot in New Hampshire or Iowa. I mean, there is the fact that there's an undeniable stench to being primary. In fact, it tends to smell like death. Jimmy Carter was primaried in 1980 by Ted Kennedy. Jerry Ford got primaried in 1976 by Ronald Reagan. LBJ got primaried by Eugene McCarthy, and it made him drop out of the race. But even if you don't do that, everybody else I mentioned also went on to lose. Do we understand what this means? Can we look to the past and understand why this is the case? Well, yes, friends, of course. It's the Politics, Politics, Politics program. We're gonna look to the past. We can look to 1992. And the primary in the state of New Hampshire with Pat Buchanan versus sitting president George H.W. Bush. And it is in that, the last time that anybody dared running against somebody who currently lives in the White House, that we can know why we are in the predicament that we are in right now. For Dog and Pony Show Audio, my name is Justin Robert Young, and this is Politics, Politics, Politics. All right, so first things first, let's get some facts out of the way here. The Democratic Party has all but awarded its nomination to Joe Biden. And by that, I mean the Democratic Party will not hold any kind of debates. The electoral contests that normally build up the delegates for which head to the convention and give that honor to one person will be perfunctory affairs. Now, they'll still exist much in the same way that Donald Trump still ran against whatever motley crew ran against him in 2020. But they're also going to be weirder than that, if it makes sense. Let's understand a subplot here before we get into exactly how people are treating this particular primary. And remember that by his own hand, Joe Biden single-handedly rejiggered all of the Democratic primaries. As of right now, this is the calendar for which the DNC is saying the states that vote for its president must adhere to. South Carolina going first on February 3rd, New Hampshire and Nevada at the same time on February 6th, Georgia February 13th, Michigan on February 27th. Iowa does not even appear on this early schedule. Now, here's the problem. None of that is actually guaranteed, since states are not controlled by the Democratic Party alone. And a lot of the states that the Democrats want to move around, including South Carolina, New Hampshire, and Georgia, are at a state level controlled by Republicans. In fact, Nevada has a Republican governor right now. So it is highly likely that we are going to see all of those states keep the same schedules as they've done in the past, because the states don't want to spend double the money to hold two different primaries. And since the Republicans do have a competitive primary, and especially states like New Hampshire that have it in their state constitution that they are the first primary in the country, they're going to go first anyway. Which means for the Democrats, and again, this is a ceremonial situation, but because they made their own mess of their calendar, the New Hampshire primary, the Georgia primary, and the South Carolina primary are all gonna be unsanctioned. This happened back in 2008 as well. Florida and Michigan tried to jump the line and have more relevant primaries. The party sanctioned them and then held out their delegates. The delegates wound up counting at the convention, but it was a whole rigmarole. But since that was two states that wanted to try and jump the line, this time everybody's kind of jumbled around, and it is what it is. But in terms of our conversation today, it means that the president and leader of the party needs to make a decision on whether or not he's going to compete in non-sanctioned primaries, because he doesn't want there to be momentum in a contest that he doesn't want anybody to see as a contest. Specifically, January 22nd, when the Iowa Republican caucus happens, and therefore the Democratic caucus, you can know for sure that RFK Jr. and Marianne Williamson will be campaigning there. Joe Biden needs to decide, okay, I know I tried to kill the Iowa caucus. Do I go outside my own party's rules and list myself on the ballot or not? January 30th, the New Hampshire Republican primary, and according to all the state government officials in New Hampshire, will also be the Democratic primary, but not according to the party. So now Biden has to do that as well. And by the way, does he campaign there? He really can't. He might be listed there, but he doesn't really want to campaign there. He really wants to just have these come and go. He says he's willing, according to Politico, to risk any kind of problems that would come from being in violation of listing himself on the ballots in these states from his own party, if that is the case. But let's imagine a world where this primary that's not supposed to be a primary actually sees decent returns for RFK Jr. or Marianne Williamson. That only ratchets things up. It makes the invulnerability of incumbency for the president seem all that more conquerable. And it puts Joe Biden in the position to violate the rules of his own party so he cannot be embarrassed in a contest that isn't a contest. Obviously, some of this is an issue of Joe Biden's own making. There was no reason for him to have to push these kinds of changes to the Democratic primary calendar at this point. Although, then again, this would be the only time that he would have the sway to do it, because he won't have the sway when he is a lame duck president if he gets reelected, because, as we say oft on this show, all power in politics is future power. But let's get back to that old ghost story. No sitting president who's been primaried wins the general election. And the last time, according to political lore, this has happened was New Hampshire in 1992. Let's go back, won't we?
I think we'll go with a little Bohemian Rhapsody, gentlemen.
Good call.
I see a little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo,
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 Galileo, Figaro.
Yes, friends, as Wayne's World tops the box office, this was a commercial that residents of the Live Free or Die state saw on their television.
Hi, I'm Pat Buchanan. Together, we can change the course of America. First, as your president, I will demand an immediate across-the-board spending and hiring freeze. Second, I will demand a two-year moratorium on all new federal regulations. Third, as president, I will fight for America and make sure foreign aid is spent right here in the United States where it is needed most. Fourth, in trade, America doesn't just want a level playing field. We will play to win. Fifth, as president, I will use the line item veto and stop wasteful government spending. Sixth, I will personally go from state to state to get term limits placed on every member of Congress. Finally, I will cut taxes and create a new middle-class revolution for America. Together, we will say goodbye to yesterday and build a new tomorrow. Paid for by Buchanan for president.
The sitting president, George H.W. Bush, at a point where we didn't need to give the distinction of his middle initials, had a primary challenger. The inheritor of the Reagan Revolution saw an insurgency of his own. Pat Buchanan held no previous office, much like RFK Jr. George Bush was a vice president elected to another term on the familiarity of his own boss. Let's not forget, by the way, that if not for this sojourn into crazy town with Donald Trump becoming president and Barack Obama making the decision to knife his own Veep in the back in favor of Hillary Clinton, this was Biden's promised position. Obama, in many ways, is liberal Reagan. And George Bush lost in 1990. Is this history echoing yet again? We look at the New Hampshire primary and its effect of a challenge, as well as trying to explain to you once and for all, when is a primary, and when is it just a couple people running against the president? All of it after the break. TakePoliticsSeriously.com is where you need to go. TakePoliticsSeriously.com is how you support this show. TakePoliticsSeriously.com is where you get bonus episodes of this program. Double them up, double them up. One podcast on Monday morning, one podcast on Thursday afternoon. You get two times the episodes each and every week for only $3 a week. At the price of a cup of coffee, I talk to you twice as much. And baby, we got the season for it. Let's go ahead and hear from somebody we have not yet heard from, Liz Cheney.
Donald Trump is the only president in American history who has refused to guarantee the peaceful transfer of power.
Joe Biden,
he lost the election and he knew it.
To become the president,
he betrayed millions of Americans by telling them the election was stolen.
Stop the steal.
He ignored the rulings of dozens of courts. Rather than accept his defeat, he mobilized a mob to come to Washington and march on the Capitol. Then he watched on television while the mob attacked law enforcement, invaded the Capitol, and hunted the vice president. He refused for 3 hours to tell the mob to leave. There has never been a greater dereliction of duty by any president. Trump was warned repeatedly that his plans for January 6th were illegal. He didn't care. And today, he celebrates those who attacked our Capitol. Donald Trump has proven he is unfit for office. Donald Trump is a risk America can never take again.
The Great Task is responsible for the content of this advertising.
That is the voice of Liz. Somebody whose name we have not heard a lot from in terms of a possible presidential candidate. This is her Great Task pack. And that ad is running in New Hampshire right now. She went undrafted in our failed candidates draft. Ooh, could have been big value left on the board. We'll have to keep an eye on that. Meanwhile, we have a debt ceiling negotiation update with a looming default date in June. Biden has met yesterday, Tuesday, with Democratic and Republican leaders, including Kevin McCarthy. Democrats, of course, want a clean debt ceiling increase without any paired spending cuts, whereas Republicans want to use the bill as leverage for several social spending cuts. The negotiations are, of course, an important step in preventing the United States from defaulting on its debt, which could result in delayed payments, increased interest rates, higher unemployment, and the drop in our country's credit rating. So, where is this going to go? Probably nowhere fast, and I don't mean to say that it's not going to happen, but just it's not going to happen very quickly. The Democrats put out talking points yesterday tying the Republicans' bill to an increase in fentanyl. So obviously the Dems are throwing a lot of spaghetti against the wall if now they are co-opting the fentanyl talking point. Not exactly dealing from their traditional points of strength. And finally, Ron DeSantis making a behind-the-scenes moves that telegraphs as clearly as we have seen that he is running for president. The Florida governor severed his connections with the long-standing state political committee and tens of millions of dollars that it currently controls, a step he needs to take before he runs. The governor is expected to jump into the race for president soon, and his move to rebrand his Florida political committee called Friends of Ron DeSantis is the most concrete sign so far that his candidacy is imminent. DeSantis cannot use money raised for Friends of Ron DeSantis in a federal race because state law does not limit how much somebody can give to the political committee or the source of the donations. However, that money can be shifted to another super PAC that backs DeSantis if the governor is no longer connected with the political committee, which has now happened. While some have questioned the legality of the move, the Federal Election Commission is deadlocked over a similar strategy that was used by Representative Byron Donalds. We will see more of this. DeSantis is running. And by the way, he needs it. Morning Consult poll came out today that has him sub 20. This is a man who was running in the 30s a month and a half ago. He needs to reintroduce himself to the nation, or this one is going to be over pretty quick. TakePoliticsSeriously.com is where you need to go. TakePoliticsSeriously.com will make you smile. TakePoliticsSeriously.com is where you get bonus episodes of this program. Thanks to everybody who already does it. Now, back to the show.
This is an ABC News special. The 92 vote. Now from ABC News World Headquarters, David Brinkley and Peter Jennings.
Good evening, everybody. Nice to have you back, David. As I said earlier tonight, I don't like to get started without you in our presence, at least.
Well, then don't.
I've been counting up the rhetoric of the hour tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Buchanan says what began as a little rebellion has grown into a full-scale middle American revolution. George Bush says, I understand the message of dissatisfaction. Now on to the South. Songa says, New Hampshire to Washington, are you listening? And Clinton says, it proved I can take a punch. I'm the comeback kid.
Okay.
Opening thoughts?
Well, George Bush may understand, but he may not like what has happened. because the voting today left him a little ahead of Pat Buchanan, but not very much. And here's how the numbers look. Close race, something we did not expect, and I don't believe George Bush did either. So he got a bone-rattling surprise today.
That is, obviously, the ABC News coverage of the New Hampshire primary of 1992. Here are the final numbers there. George W. Bush, 43%. Pat Buchanan at 38%. Others totaling 9%. Hey, by the way, on the Democratic side, it was Paul Tsongas. Paul Tsongas, the former swimmer. By the way, I saw an ad for him in New Hampshire today, a 1992 ad. That's Tsongas just swimming in the A-roll. Like, so if you know television, the A-roll is the main thing you're following. The B-roll is like the other little bits of things that show up there. I have no question that Paul Tsongas, since he was a swimmer, should be featured swimming at some point in his ad. To make the entire thing a grown-ass man in a Speedo jumping in an Olympic pool and just breaststroking throughout the entire thing. I mean, God, the 90s. What a decade, huh? Paul Tsongas, 33%. Bill Clinton, 25%. Bob Kerry, 11%. Tom Harkin, 10%. Jerry Moonbeam Brown, 8%. Others tallied up to 13%. But let's flip back to the Republicans. That Pat Buchanan performance, and that was his high point, was the last time that in the world of presidential politics, a sitting president was touched like that. That there was any element of electoral weakness being shown by the man who inhabits the Oval Office. And eventually, George H.W. went on to settle everything, and Pat Buchanan gave a big speech at the Republican National Convention. That's one thing about Buchanan. Buchanan was a party guy. Buchanan knew that you run really hard in the primaries. When it's not your time, then you make sure that everybody knows that you're a team player. He gave a speech called Culture War, by the way. Here are some of the best clips.
Like many of you, last month, I watched that giant masquerade ball up at Madison Square Garden, where 20,000 liberals and radicals came dressed up as moderates and centrists in the greatest single exhibition of cross-dressing in American political history. As was said of another Democratic candidate, Bill Clinton's foreign policy experience is pretty much confined to having had breakfast once at the International House of Pancakes.
For his finale, Buchanan invokes speaking with some of the troopers that helped quell the Los Angeles riots, which had happened a few months
earlier. Second day, and the rioting was still going on, and two of them walked up a dark street where the mob had burned and looted every single building on the block but one, a convalescent home for the aged. And the mob was headed in to ransack and loot the apartments of the terrified old men and women inside. The troopers came up the street, M16s at the ready, and the mob threatened and cursed. But the mob retreated because it had met the one thing that could stop it. Force rooted in justice and backed by moral courage. You know, greater love than this hath no man than that he lay down his life for his friend. Here were 19-year-old boys ready to lay down their lives to stop a mob from molesting old people they did not even know. And as those boys took back the streets of Los Angeles block by block, my friends, we must take back our cities and take back our culture and take back our country. God bless you, and God bless America.
But it begins one of the greatest spooky truisms of presidential politics, at least in our modern era, because it's the last time that happened. Don't get primary. If you get primaried, you lose. Now, the reasons in 1992 were varied. George Bush was vulnerable. He was probably going to lose to Bill Clinton anyway. Ross Perot was the scapegoat in 1992. But Buchanan probably made him go further to the right than he would otherwise. That's one of the benefits of a Rose Garden strategy, is that you can control the narrative in a way that you cannot as a primary candidate. And so if you've got a cosplay as one, then you are closing off avenues that you could have used otherwise. Some people actually pointed to that speech that Buchanan gave at the RNC, saying that that was a scary element of conservatism that just tarnished the brand enough for Bill Clinton to win in a three-way race. Regardless, the only thing that's mattered since then has been, do not appear as if you are getting into a primary. And if you are, out and out, deny it. I'm going to read you some polls right now for the Democratic presidential nomination. This is the most recent one. It's a Rasmussen poll, which has been pretty kind to Biden so far. It's got Biden at 62%, Kennedy at 19%, and Williamson at 4%. That morning console poll that I told you about in the ad break, that has Donald Trump at 61%, Ron DeSantis at 19%, and Mike Pence at 5%. That's nearly identical to what we are looking at here. Now, that would make both Joe Biden and Donald Trump the presumptive favorites. But we're not talking about RFK in the way that the press was talking about Pat Buchanan back then. And considering the fact that Joe Biden might not even be on the ballot in the first two contests, well, it would not be a shock if RFK did better than Buchanan in either Iowa or New Hampshire against a Joe Biden who may or may not be there, may have to rely on write-in votes. So, is this a primary? Here's my best way to describe it, using a modern analogy. Currently, as I'm sure there are many people listening who are members of this guild, Writers Guild of America is striking. This is predominantly geographically happening in Los Angeles, New York, Atlanta, places where television and movies are filmed. Now, the WGA, just like any union, cannot control who plies their trade in their field. The WGA cannot dictate who writes a script and who can sell a script to its studios or to the studios. WGA has members, it recruits members, and in its collective bargaining negotiation, it sets pay scales and rules for effectively all writers. Its power comes from soft influence and a refusal to play ball if you cross the line. Keep together, keep solidarity, and everyone does better. Now, obviously, it has perks to be a member. But still, the WGA does not want anybody eroding their power of solidarity. Now, let's say, theoretically, for this metaphor, that the strike lasts a little longer. People start to get a little antsy. And maybe the current leadership of the WGA is not looked at particularly well. And let's say some other gigantic, influential writer stands up and says, I've lost faith in the leadership. I believe the WGA should negotiate this way. And I believe we should focus on this. And I believe we should take this deal. Well, that's different than somebody who's out of the union standing up and saying, I'm going to go write a script and send it to the studio. I'm going to sell it to the studio. Because the second person's a scab. The first example that I gave in this particular coupling is a mutiny. To go back to politics, this is the reason why Mayor Pete was kept as close as he was to the administration. It's why he was given a secretary position, a cabinet position. It's why Kamala Harris has been kept in a very managed position. She's been given a lot of tasks that have not a lot of room to succeed. And Kamala's people have complained about it, as vice presidents often do. The reason why is because if either of these people go out of their way and run against Joe Biden in the primary, it's a mutiny. If people who are largely disconnected from party power run against Joe Biden, like Marianne Williamson and RFK Jr., they are scabs. The Democratic National Committee is on strike in favor of Joe Biden getting the nomination. They can't stop RFK Jr. or Marianne from, in their perspective, scabbing. But anybody who does this will be given no favors and be summarily shunned from the power structure when all of this is over. In the same way that anybody who went out of their way to or even dared to cross the picket line and sell scripts to the studios while there's a WGA strike going on will almost assuredly never, ever, ever get acceptance into that union and will have much of the union's soft power wielded against them. So, yes, this is a contest in which Joe Biden's going to have multiple people running against him. No, in the eyes of the media and the Democratic power structure, it is not a primary. That is, unless those polls get a lot worse. In that case, some folks might start to get a little antsy. Especially if, just like in the Washington Post ABC poll that came out on Sunday, it showed Joe Biden down 7 points to both DeSantis and Trump. Well, in that case, anything's possible. Politics possible. And that'll wrap it up for us today. Politics, Politics, Politics. Written and hosted by me, Justin Robert Young, for Dog and Pony Show Audio in Austin, Texas. If you'd like to email the program, just me. Just email me. Say hi. What's going on? What's up, dude? TheYoungAmerican@gmail.com. You can find the show on Twitter, PX3Tweets. You can find me on Twitter, Justin R. Young. You can find me live on Twitch, px3live.com. You can share this podcast with your friends, family, and clergy. Letter P, letter X, number 3, podcast.com. If you'd like to send me anything in a one-time donation, you can do so. PayPal.me/payjury. That is PayJury. That's PayPal. Venmo. The money's not real. You know, we all know this. Stated fact, we've proved it a million times. Prove it a million and one times. Justin-Young-20. Cash App. Somebody sent me money on Cash App. They sent me $17.76. And the way the Cash App works is you have to confirm it. And so I didn't confirm it in time, and it just went away. So that's my bad. I need to be faster to pick up my $17.76. But if you'd like to send me anything on Cash App, it is PX3 Cash. You want to toss me something in the old mail, huh? You want to give me a, I don't know, a little note that says, sup? You could do that. P.O. Box 153184, Austin, Texas, 78715. Make it out to Justin Robert Young. P.O. Box 153184, Austin, Texas, 78715. Of course, you can always get our bonus content at TakePoliticsSeriously.com. $3 tier gets you 2 bonus podcasts per week covering all the news that we missed on our free podcasting schedule. And our $10 tier gets your name read at the end of the show like these fine folks in the Titanic. $10 tier. Jason, Andres, Matt, John Gross, C. Garcia, Matthew T., El Basso, John, Craig Potts, MC Dradio, Bugs Life, Niemeister, Unsafe DB Levels, Amanda, Ye Old Pinball Shop, DB4 Bongo, Catherine, Todd, and Vogloria Young for King of the New World Order, Edison, Up, Up, Down, Down, left, right, BA, Select, Start, Dr. G, Neil, Charles, Darren, 100 Mile Runner, Idris Arslanian, Bluefront and the Lenina, DL, Steven, Chad, Matic, Terran, Molly's Dashing Debut, Miranda Janelle, Adam, Chief Andy, Robert, Casey, Paul, he's awesome, Brad, Richard, Just Another Pilot, Middle-Aged Mike Who Loves Frank Got Abducted, Utah, Jimmy Montana, The Gen, A-L-D-L-D-L-D, really? Chopper, Andrew, and Joshua. You want your name? Right in this show. You want it? I think you'd like it. Especially now, heating up, sizzling. You got to go on over to TakePoliticsSeriously.com. That's it. That's it for today. We will be back to you on this feed on Friday. If you are a patron, you will hear from me on Thursday, probably an update on the debt ceiling. And we are going to have an update on Donald Trump's return to CNN. At last, the two great lovers are back together. CNN Town Hall with Donald Trump. We'll see how that works out. All right. That'll be it for today. Till next time, this is your old pal Justin Robert Young saying, some shows talk about politics, others talk about politics, and still more discuss politics. But this is the only show that dares discuss all three.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Dog and Pony Show Audio.